to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's the third and final hour of tonight's broadcast. We're slowly but surely starting to whittle down the items of topic for discussion this evening, and we are going to cover a lot of ground in very short order this hour. Welcome back to Political Cesspool, AM 1380 WLRM Radio. We're in downtown Memphis, Tennessee tonight, broadcasting from our flagship station, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and streaming online, the online simulcast at thepoliticalcesspool.org, where, as you heard over the course of tonight's show thus far, people from all around the country are tuned in and enjoying our broadcast this evening. Eddie the Bombardier Miller is alongside me here in our downtown digs. Eddie, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back. Good to be back. Been out there watching the Alabama-Florida game just a little bit. You know, old habits die hard. I want to see my Blacks beat the Florida Blacks.
There you go. Well, and it looks like Alabama was winning, and you were very excited about that. And Eddie was out in the green room there in the lobby in the studio during the second hour checking it out. Well, actually, Eddie, I'm glad you mentioned TV because my wife and I put this on the website. We were flipping through. We put the baby to bed early on Sunday night, and it was a relaxing evening after church, and we were watching TV, and we settled in on a brand new show that I'd actually seen a preview for, and I was hoping that I'd remember to watch it. And it just so happened as we were flipping through, I mean, you know, right, we turned it on there right to the minute it was starting. It was the pilot of the series. New show on ABC called Pan Am, and it's a show that is a fictional take on the iconic airline. And the plot centers around the pilots and stewardesses of the airline in the 1960s. So it's set back in the past, back when America still had a little bit of a culture. And I couldn't help but to notice that the cast, which was anchored by Christina Ricci, who's very cute. I don't necessarily care for a lot of her body of work. She was Wednesday Addams in the Addams Family, and she grew up. She's my age now. But the cast she anchored was entirely white and attractive. And people say, oh, my God, you noticed that the cast was entirely white. Well, that must be evil. It must be a horrible show. Well, come on, folks. Look, not people of this program would say that, of course, listeners of this show. But there are countless shows on network television that are all black. They have an all-black cast for a reason. They cater to that demographic. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with Pan Am having a solely white cast, at least so far. I watched the entire show, and I wasn't offended once, which is almost unheard of for an hour of network programming these days. There might have been a little feminism sprinkled in there, but not enough, at least in the initial episode, to stop me from watching again. And another thing that kind of people might forget was that I had for quite some time a private pilot's license. I always have been enamored with flying. And until Eddie shot, you know, Eddie is the bombardier, and until he shot my plane down, I had a pilot's license. But I got it, and that was something I'm very proud of. And I certainly wasn't a commercial pilot, but I could haul friends and family around. You know, I got a pilot's license for the little Cessnas. And so, you know, that was another thing that drew me into the show. But, Eddie, you're probably old enough to remember this. Did you fly much in the 60s?
Yeah.
I know you were in the Army, but did you fly commercially in the 60s? Well, this is one of the things that the show talks about. Some of the critics were asking how the Pan Am television series compares with real-life air travel during that era. And if you watched the show, if you watched the premiere, you saw that all of the flight attendants were very, very attractive. So you might be thinking that they were young, attractive, all white, and all single. And you must be thinking, man, that could not have ever been the case. If you've flown recently, you've got an older, you know, frumpy lady as your they're not even stewardesses anymore, they're flight attendants, and or maybe a homosexual. I have flown a lot over the course of the last 10, 15 years. Not once in the last 15 years have seen a young, attractive, you know, stewardess / flight attendant like I saw in this series. But they went back and they asked the living stewardesses of Pan Am from that day and age if the show was accurate. And they said, absolutely. You had to have a pleasant personality, which, again, flight attendants don't have today. You had to have a good speaking voice, excellent health, and you had to be single, really single, not widowed, divorced, or separated. You had to weigh in between 110 and 135 pounds, which was another qualification. And they showed this on the show, Eddie. Pre-flight weigh-ins and grooming inspections depicted on the show were true to life. When you checked in for a flight, you'd go into the office and there'd be a grooming supervisor on duty at all time. They'd make you cut your hair. You could get grounded if your uniform wasn't properly squared away, if you didn't look the part. And they wore girdles. If they were 1 minute late for the trip, they got sent home. And this is, you know, goes into something we were talking about in the last segment about this American Juggalo. Eddie, you were watching the video a little bit during the last commercial break. Eddie, I'll let Eddie talk about it. But this, again, just goes to show, and I'm glad that ABC, and I'm not holding my breath, I'm sure in future episodes this season, they're going to get in some of the liberal talking points, and they're going to get some of that cultural Marxist dogma in there, and it's probably going to go downhill. But, you know, you didn't have to worry about planes being, you know, hijacked by, you know, by diverse folks, if you will, by non-whites. You didn't have to worry about that back then. Kids could go in. I can even remember this flying as a younger kid. Kids could go in and go into the cockpit and visit with the captain. You could do that back then. And this was something that this show depicted. And it all goes back into this one theme that resonated with me. American culture and American standards have fallen across the board by every standard of measurement since the 1960s. By law, a lot of this is federally mandated, as Eddie points out. But anyway, Eddie, two questions for you. Can you remember this? Can you remember what they were depicting in this show? And let's compare and contrast that to this video of the American Juggalo documentary that shows the difference in people, you know, being fit, being healthy, being well-spoken, to the kind of so-called American citizens that are being produced today. Eddie, you take it from there.
I'll tell you what, James, I most certainly can remember those days. As you probably well know, I was drafted in February of 1969, and that's the first time I ever flew. I flew from Memphis to Louisiana, Shreveport, Louisiana, took a bus there, Fort Polk. And I flew many, many times with the Army during those times, during the 2 years of the 60s and early 70s. And first of all, I can tell you I never saw a black stewardess. They were stewardess in those days. I never saw an ugly one. They were all gorgeous. In those days, people, single, young men, equated airline stewardesses with movie stars. I mean, if you could land a Hollywood actor or model, you know, a supermodel, They were in the same these airline stewardesses were placed in that same category, and they were all intelligent and spotlessly groomed, just like you described that movie. It was wonderful. And that Juggalo thing you were talking about, I saw part of that video. That, and I'm not hard to scare, but that's just scary to me to think these people, like I was telling James, can you picture any of these people being a doctor, a bank
Don't
president?
Go away.
They're like a, you know.
We'll be back right
okay.
After these
well, folks, we're coming up to a break, and we'll get back to some of this when we come back.
We will continue this discussion because I think there is. Well, we're making a point, but there is an additional point to be made. Stay tuned, everybody.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. James Edwards, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, third and final hour. This is a family show. You know, we encourage families to tune in and listen to this. I mean, the topics aren't always pleasant, but we try to present everything in good taste. And not only is this a family show that we encourage folks to gather around the radio and listen to, if you're in Memphis and you're on Bill Street and you wanted to drop by our studio, well, just check in at the front desk. Apparently, families can just walk in the studio anytime they want because my family has just done that, and it looks like my daughter is going through Eddie the Bombardier Miller's backpack, and she's stealing his tea. Looks like we're going to have a ride home tonight, though, from work. I'm not going to have to take a cab or bum a ride with Eddie. But while my wife's in here, I was actually just talking about her. We watched Pan Am last Sunday night. You probably remember that. Did you like the show?
It was pretty good.
Are we going to watch it? I just want her to answer this in front of a nationally syndicated audience. Are we going to watch it again tomorrow night?
Possibly.
The reason I ask her and try to get her to commit is because we only have one TV in the Edwards household, which is probably one too many, if truth be known. But we don't have a TV in every bedroom like so many families do. And so we agree on what programs we're going to watch. So I was trying to get her to commit because I kind of like that show. We'll see. She has her shows that she likes to watch, but we won't mention those on the air. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, if y'all could actually just wait in the lobby. So I love my baby, but she doesn't make for a good guest yet. Anyway, it just goes to show this radio show how far, and I know it's just a fictional depiction of an airline, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, but the listeners didn't seem to think so, because we had a couple of dozen responses, and many of them were quite good and quite intelligent and profound, as you would expect from a political cesspool commenter. But if you get the chance tomorrow night, folks, and like I said, tomorrow I'm sure every politically correct idea you could mention is going to be propagated in the show, but it comes on Sunday night. A lot of things have happened since the 1960s. It makes you disheartened on one hand to see how far we've gone in 50 short years, from the way people looked, the way they spoke, the way they dressed, to where we are today, especially when you take in Richard Spencer's American Juggalo video. But we're about to move on, but Eddie wants to make one quick parting comment.
Yeah, James, we briefly mentioned a minute ago, but I think the key point of this whole story, the main point is all this degeneration, going back to like the Neanderthal days, it's really mandated by law. You can no longer have weight standards. You can't have character standards. You can no longer hire stewardesses that are you can't put out requirements that they be Christian, single, heterosexual. You can no longer have weight standards. You can't have standards or morality standards. If you have like a 250-pound black homosexual lesbian that comes in and wants to be a stewardess, you can't bar that regardless. The qualifications be damned. And the same way in the school system, James. We don't have proper grading standards in the school. It's in the churches. It's everywhere, James. And it's mandated. I mean, look at what's going on as a society. We have men marrying men, women marrying women. And it's the point I'm trying to make is, it's all this has been mandated by law. It's an attack. It's an all-out attack on white Christian culture.
Western culture, and let's make no mistake about it. Yes, I mean, you can't separate the racial makeup and ethnicity of the first world from its Christian Western European origin. So, Christendom, Europe, the West, and, it's all a people whose name dare not be mentioned. But, these things came. Most of the things that are great in civilization came from the same founding stock that carved America from a wilderness. And we shouldn't be ashamed to admit that. And we shouldn't be ashamed to have those standards and hope that everybody be held to them. We're trading down. We're trading down so that everybody can feel included. What happened to standards of excellence, ladies and gentlemen? Is that racist too? Is that racist too? All right, real quick, Pappy.
The standards are there, James. Like I pointed out earlier, our good brother Keith Alexander is always fond of pointing out, so true, that you'll never see an Army or Marine recruiting station in a Jewish neighborhood. That's true. You'll never see, in this movie, this video we saw with the Juggalos, I guarantee you there's no Jews there. The Jewish youth are out training. They're in Harvard. They're in Yale. They're in Vanderbilt. They're training to be the bank presidents. They're training to be the Secretary of the States. They're training to be the chief advisor to the president and the chief advisor to the vice president. They're training to be the heads of Goldman Sachs and all the major banking institutions of the world. That's where they are. They're not out doing all this crap.
And to their eternal credit, I only wish that a lot of our people had the same discipline that they do. Now, again, where this comes into play is that a lot of this drug culture and a lot of this anti-Christian, anti-West propaganda, the whole do whatever makes you feel good, have no standards, have no morals, is being pushed by media that is disproportionately owned by a certain minority. But nevertheless, they have an identity. We don't. We want it. You know, even the minorities, the Hispanics, the blacks, they have a racial identity and a healthy sense of it. This is something we talk about all the time. This is what we need to have, because when we had it, America was a better place for us and for everyone else. And anyway, and now all we've got is constant griping and complaining about how racist America is. And we talked about this so much, you know, 50 years, you know, billions of dollars in affirmative action and all of these other practices to raise their standard of living up to what whites were in the 60s. And you have more accusations of racism today. The more you do, it's kind of like the old Creedence Clearwater Revival song. And when you ask them how much can you give, the only answer is more, more, more. The more you give them, it seems, at least from those, you know, in the media. Now, people like Morgan Freeman, for instance, who I promised we would talk about, you know, the more you give, the more you sacrifice your own identity, the more they believe you to be a racist. Morgan Freeman says everybody in the Tea Party is a racist because people in the Tea Party, or at least nominally conservative, or pretend to be conservative, or think they're conservative, and they oppose Obama. Well, who wouldn't if they are the least bit conservative? Who wouldn't oppose Obama? Well, of course, all Morgan Freeman sees, a true racist, is that they oppose a black guy. I guess, even though Obama stands as a Marxist, he stands absolutely against everything the Tea Parties would stand for. Well, that's not germane to the discussion. Obama's black and they're white, so they're a racist. Now, normally, a guy like Morgan Freeman, who, despite playing God and all wise janitors in all of his movies, convicts, you know, he's always the eternally wise guy in the movie. Not a wise guy, but a wise man. I would normally on this off. Another black Hollywood guy calling white political activists racist. I would normally yawn that and just dismiss it. But let's make no mistake. Despite the fact that he plays God in the movies, he isn't particularly well-educated and certainly has no grounds to serve as a political commentator. He was once quoted as saying, "The only way to end racism is to stop talking about it. I only wish he had taken his own advice." Of course, he engages in anti-white political behavior. He supported the defeated proposal to change the Mississippi state flag, which contains, you know, the Confederate battle flag as part of its logo. That was dismissed by the voters of Mississippi by 70%, and including most blacks in Mississippi voted for it. Obviously, because blacks are the majority in Mississippi. Anyway, despite being a paper tiger, these constant false accusations of racism keep the folks in the Tea Party movement running for cover. In order to prove they aren't racist to hacks like Morgan Freeman, white Republican voters in the Tea Party select the totally unqualified token black Herman Cain as the winner of the straw poll. That's what was so interesting about Morgan Freeman's attacks and allegations of racism, is that it came the same weekend that all white Republican voters in the Florida straw poll selected Herman Cain. Now, Herman Cain, you know, he's not terrible. He doesn't give a completely horrible speech, but let's face it, he's the token candidate. He's the guy you vote for if you don't want to be called a racist. He is not qualified just because he ran Godfather's Pizza for a few years. He's not qualified to be president of the United States. The only reason he's getting votes is so Republicans can appease Morgan Freeman. It's silly. We got to take a break.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the political cesspool. Quick wrap-up on the whole Morgan Freeman, you're a racist if you're in the Tea Party thing, even though everybody in the Tea Party voted for, quite possibly, the least qualified candidate to win the Florida straw poll. Winston Smith wrote a great follow-up article at our website entitled, "Is Morgan Freeman the Soul of Morality?" And Winston reminded us that 3 years ago, Morgan Freeman wrecked a car he was driving with a white woman, his mistress, not his wife, in the passenger seat. 2 years ago, the word was out that Morgan Freeman was having an affair with his step-granddaughter. And I don't think he denied those allegations. This was a, you know, major news story. This wasn't just, you know, rumor. Yeah. Now Morgan Freeman has the moral authority, though, to declare the Tea Party a racist thing. And, of course, his comments came from the Piers Morgan show on CNN. Morgan Freeman said that the Tea Party's stated policy, publicly stated policy, is to do whatever it takes to see that Obama only serves one term. Well, of course, Obama's a Marxist. Most people in the Tea Party at least think they're conservative, so why would they like him? But then Morgan Freeman continues, what underlines that? Screw the country. What they're thinking is that they've got to do whatever they can to get this black man out of there. And then he went on to say that the Tea Party is a racist thing. Well, and this, again, is the same Tea Party that elects the unqualified black Republican. You know, they slit their own throats. And Herman Cain probably isn't a bad guy. I'm just saying, I mean, come on. He's never even been elected dog catcher. He might be I don't know much about him. I just know that he's not qualified to be president. And, you know, that's going to be a difficult assertion for Morgan Freeman to prove. But it doesn't matter because they're not interested in proving that you're a racist. They're just interested in getting the allegation out there so that you'll be spinning your wheels rather than accomplishing anything. And Winston concludes by saying, perhaps Morgan Freeman's moral authority comes from his work in the movie Invictus, in which he plays the part of Nelson Mandela. You know, Mandela, the guy, the dictator in South Africa who likes to sing songs about killing white people. Now, there's a guy who has moral authority in spades. And in any case, there you have it. If you disagree with Obama's policies, if you have no confidence in his ability to handle the economy, if you don't think that he's the greatest president the country has ever had or will ever have, if you think if you think any of that, then you're obviously a racist. Your support for Herman Cain, be darned. So saith Morgan Freeman. Okay, Eddie, you can talk.
Here we go. I'd like to point out one thing. It was these racist white people that put the mulatto in the office to start with. They put him in there, and he has stuck it to the white folks that put him in there. The commies in a shambles. You know, we're in a never-ending war. All the wars that that Bush started and the so-called liberals were against, they raved about, you know, against Bush or being a warmonger. Well, the mulatto in chief, he has expanded all these wars, and he's getting us into all these one world order organizations. He's bringing us under the United Nations authority. And another thing, I don't care. If a black, and this is, I've been alive for 64 years. I've seen this happen over and over. I don't care if you get a black in there, if he's got one drop of black blood in his veins. And I'm talking right now, I'm thinking about Colin Powell, large Colin Powell, when he was the Secretary of Defense. Secretary of State. You know, he came out, and if anybody remembers Colin Powell, he was maybe an eighth black, James. He was, you know, 80% white. But when it came to putting affirmative action back into place in our society, he was 100% affirmative action. He, too, was always screaming against racist, about racism. So the point I'm trying to make here, James, is white people put the mulatto in the White House. They put him in. They voted him. They thought he was the second coming of John the Baptist or something. But now they've seen that he stuck it to them. They won't take him out. So white people put him in there, my one point. My next point is, I don't care who you get in there. If he's black, sooner or later, that black is going to come out, and his racial identity is going to show.
And again, that is not anything that we hold against them. I think it's healthy. And I think it's fine that they have that identity. And this is the thing where people misunderstand us from time to time. It's that that's perfectly well and good. And I encourage them to have that, just as everyone else does. What the double standard that comes into play is that we are not allowed to have that. And I am not talking about, the Black Congressional Caucus, you name it. There was a Jewish guy here, a Jewish homosexual here in Memphis, Steve Cohen, congressman of the 8th District of Tennessee. He tried to join it, and they wouldn't even let him. And so where's the diversity in there? It's all about the double standards. That's what this show tries to unmask. And Eddie mentioned Colin Powell. You know, this was a guy that voted for Obama. I believe he mentioned shortly after the election that, yeah, he voted for Obama. And they stick together, and they have that healthy sense of racial solidarity. Now, where we draw a line is that, yeah, you know, it does seem that the federal government is selectively targeting white people as its victims in some of these programs, some of these federal programs, and it seems as though we're the only people who suffer from them. And so, you know, that's, you know, a bridge too far. If you had a white candidate with a healthy sense of racial identity who was elected. Let's just say I got elected president. I wouldn't actively go out to seek to harm or disenfranchise blacks, not in the least. I really wouldn't. It's not necessary. But, and this is what Eddie got into, and he actually brings up a good point. You know, obviously, Obama's of mixed race heritage. So, of course, he identifies as black, and he does. But, you know, are the Tea Party really racist? I mean, do they like his white side and dislike his black side? I mean, it's just, you know, when you really start deconstructing these arguments and these baseless accusations, I mean, you can really trip up the left. But I tell you, how do you trip them up on something like this? Toilet paper, a hate symbol. It seems that a British, we've been talking about this all night, we're finally getting to it. It seems that a British diversity expert, and they get paid that, that's a paid position, has recommended that white paper be avoided in school. She also recommends that when teachers are asked what their favorite color is, they should always say black or brown, no matter what the true answer is, because they want to foster, you know, a sense of pride in all things black and brown for the minority students. Here's the story from, it was the Telegraph. I think that's what I said earlier. From the Wicked Witch of the West in The Wizard of Oz, to Meg, the good witch from Meg and Mog children's books, witches have always dressed in black, but their traditional attire has now come in for criticism from equality experts who claim it could send a negative message to toddlers in nursery school and lead to, you guessed it everyone, racism. Instead, teachers should censor the toy box and replace the pointy black hats with a pink one. While dressing fairies generally in pale pastels in darker shades. So the fairies who are linked with goodness, Eddie, need to be dressed in black, and the witches who are dressed in black need to be dressed in pink. Another staple of the classroom, white paper, toilet paper, and notebook paper, it comes in white if you didn't know, has also been questioned by Ann O'Connor, an early years consultant who advises local authorities on equality and diversity. Eddie's shaking his head and muttering over here, unbelievable. No, it's true. And folks, this is cultural Marxism run amok. I'm reading here from the story. Eddie said that's beyond cultural Marxism. That's
mental illness.
That's sanity, but insanity. I gotta keep on here. I'm sitting here watching Eddie's reaction. I'm getting him off course. So anyway, you've got Ann O'Connor. She's an early years consultant. I'm rereading this just to accentuate the point. Who advises local authorities on equality and diversity? And she's saying, you know, dress witches in white. I'm going to go on. Children should be provided with paper other than white to draw on, and the paints and crayons should come in the full range of flesh tones reflecting the diversity of the human race, according to the former educator. Finally, staff should be prepared to be economical with the truth when asked by pupils what their favorite color is, and in the interest of race relations, answer black or brown regardless of what their favorite color really is. The measures outlined in a series of guides in Nursery World magazine are aimed at avoiding racial bias in toddlers as young as two. And you're wondering, well, what happens if kids don't go along with this program? There have actually been investigations because, you know, all these so-called hate crimes and all this stuff is punishable in a more severe way over there than it even is here. There have been children as young as 3 years old in the United Kingdom being investigated by the authorities for, you know, making, you know, racial crimes. I guess because they always draw on white paper or they always defecate on white toilet paper. Folks, this is you might laugh at this because it's so absurd. They're taking this very seriously over there. I mean, these are people with paid positions advising authorities. This is going to be mandated in the classroom. You know, and who's really being discriminated against here? Well, obviously common sense, but everybody who's paying to send these kids to school, the people who would using their tax money. We got to take a break. We're out of break. Read more about it at the website. Bye.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. James Edwards, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, wrapping things up tonight. 3 hours goes by far too quickly when you're tuned in to this broadcast, for sure. And we were talking in the last segment. Folks, go check it out. You know, we got the link there. Read about the madness that's going on in these preschools. That apparently is an example of racism. That's an example of racism because historically witches have been dressed in black. We use white toilet paper. That's racist, okay? What's not racist? Let me tell you this, and then it's going back over to Pappy. I tell you, he's hogging it tonight. Well, let me bring this up, and then you'll really be. All right, Eddie can't he can't stop himself. All right, make this point,
folks. I'm going to ask you one thing. You know whose fault it is all this is happening to you? You know, why all this is happening? It's our damn fault. That's right, folks. It's our fault. It's the same reason. The same people's fault that all this evil crap is taking place here in the United States. You can lay it right at the feet of the white people that are being destroyed. You can especially lay it right at the feet of the churches. And I've already told my pastor, James, last week, I left a message on his phone. We're having a big barbecue dinner tomorrow. Incidentally, I want you to come. It's free. I want you to when your family to come. Excellent barbecue. I'll be working it. But see, we have this thing called the 501c3 tax exempt status. And every time you say something about we want to vote, we want to get some people, some politicians in that will prevent this crap that's going on over here in England, to prevent this wild crap like these juggalos taking place over here in the United States, the preachers will say, well, we can't talk about that because we have our tax exempt status. And if we say anything, it's violating the church and state, which separation of church and state is a myth anyway, people. That's a damn fairy tale. It doesn't exist anywhere except in the liberals' mind. Until we can get the churches to dump the 501c3 tax exempt status, until we can start preaching real sermons again, like they did back in the revolutionary days, they actually had what they call artillery sermons in the churches back in the 1700s, in early 1800s. The armories, the militia, had their militia headquarters in the churches, people. Just research it. It's there. You can find that through. They had their armories there. The preachers, the ministers, many times were the commanders of the local militia. Now we can't even get a minister to go and point out the good people who's running in office. We have a large church, one of the largest churches in the South, right here in Memphis, Tennessee, called Bellevue Baptist Church. It's a humongous church. In fact, a lot of people it's Six Flags Over Jesus. You've heard us talk about that before. They got caught with the cardinal sin, the satanic sin, the worst sin you could possibly have. They got caught some kind of a way, and I'm not a computer expert. They had a link on their official page, on their official webpage, linking to this organization, like a pro-life organization. And this pro-life organization was pointing out people running in the Memphis City Council that are pro-life. Well, because of that, the powers that be that hate Christians, you know, the Christ killers, they hate us. They said they were going to revoke their Bellevue Baptist is in danger of losing their 501c3 status. And I say it's the best damn thing that could happen. We need all the Christian churches need to get out of this 501c3 crap so we can preach real sermons and get out. Listen, folks, and get out in the street. Don't just stay hidden in your churches and preach these sermons. Get out in the street. Storm these places of these Sodom and Gomorrah places. Get rid of these people right here in England that are putting out all this toilet paper crap and drag his tail in the street, man.
Hey, I'm giving away a free book. Eddie's got his Don't Tread on Me Gags Then Flag hat on. Now, I'm giving away a book to anybody. Eddie got fired up there. That's why he's the bombardier. Anybody that can count the number of times Eddie said crap in that segment, we're going to give away a free book. No, but he's right. No, he's right about this, is that we got to get this. Yeah, it is our fault. You know, we complain about affirmative action. We complain about so many issues. You know, really, it's whites that voted in their own dispossession. They were so afraid to be called a racist, and the more they do, the more concessions they make, the more they get called a racist, coincidentally. But Eddie's right. And, you know, we talked about Sam Bushman going up and speaking at this great gathering in Idaho. Well, Chuck Baldwin has mentioned, you know, he's trying to reconstitute the black brigades, the black regiments, you know, of preachers from the Revolutionary War that would preach these messages, you know. But Bellevue Baptist Church is one of the most politically correct churches in the country. They've done everything they could and everything they can to curry favor with the left. But guess what, folks? There is no currying favor with the enemies of Christ. There's no currying favors with the people who hate Western civilization and our culture. Bellevue Baptist has done everything they can to bring in, you know, blacks, and they've done everything they can to show how politically correct and quote-unquote progressive they are. And they did something as innocuous as linking to a pro-life organization whose website... whose website mentions candidates that they want for office. And guess who stuck them, as Eddie so brilliantly pointed out? The same people they're trying to cater to. That's who's going after Bellevue's 501c3 status. They've done everything they could to show how progressive and liberal they are. And by linking to a website that links to candidates they like, they're tracking that back to Bellevue, and they're going after the tax-exempt status. You cannot curry favor with the left, and you'll never be able to do enough. You'll never be able to appease them. You'll never be able to appease them, and they're going to come after you sooner or later. It's only a question of when, so you might as well start fighting back against them, folks. What's not racist? This Black Panther threatening to shoot the guy that's passing out copies of the Constitution. That's not racist, but white paper in school classrooms is. An organization out there responded with a great letter to, where did this happen? University of Minnesota. I said it in Illinois. University of Minnesota is where it happened. Yeah, University of Minnesota. Anyway, Scoop Stanton's on the line. I didn't know Scoopy was going to call in, but he did, and I'm glad he did. He normally does call in this last segment. That's why I was trying to wrestle the mic away from you, Pappy, is because not because I wanted to stop you from your you know, fire and brimstone rhetoric there, which I love. That's why you're the everyman, you're the bombardier. But we did have Scoop on the line, and Scoop, we've taken up half of your segment, and I apologize for that. What do you have for us tonight, my friend?
Okay, well, good evening, James, good evening, Bombardier, and good evening to all Suspool listeners, and good evening to both of my fans. as you were talking about fighting the left, well, I came up with a really easy way to fight the left. All you need is about $3 or $4, and all you need to do is go down to your local hipster coffee house, such as Starbucks, Yellow Bass, Caribou Coffee, or whatever local coffee house you go to, where people like to be seen, and purchase a coffee or a beverage, and pop your wide backside down with a pale conservative book such as racism, schmacism, or open your laptop to websites such as thepoliticalcesspool.org, Council of Conservative Citizens, AMRIN, et cetera, and then have the type in big letters on your laptop. And then when these leftist, panko, America-hating, backstabbing, phony SOBs go nuts about reading racism, smashism, or the political assessment website, you just simple turn around and tell the person that, or correction, ask them why are they in a coffee shop in a white part of town. As we know, there's not too many Starbucks in South Memphis or South Chicago. And then ask them where their minority friends are, because there are none at that hipster coffee shop 9 out of 10 times. Because for some reason, the left hates capitalism and hates, you know, everything good that America stands for. But they're willing to go to Starbucks, which is a Fortune 500 company, pop down a large amount of money for overrated coffee, sit down in this coffee shop, open their laptop by Dell computers, Apple computers, or a whole bunch of other computer companies, and use the wireless free internet that the internet was perfected by capitalism and here in the good old U.S. of A. So again, the left are nothing but a bunch of two-faced hypocrites. And speaking of hypocrites, if you remember back in the day when the left was saying, a guy and a girl, or a guy and a guy, or two people can shack up, have illegitimate kids, You know, that was in marriage was just so passe. However, now the left just absolutely loves the Holy Sacrament of Matrimony because states like New York are allowing gay marriage. And then recently, back in the day, the left used to call our soldiers returning to Vietnam baby killers. You had people like Cindy Sheehan and then Code Pink raising a ruckus about the horrors of our military service. And then Don't Ask, Don't Tell gets repealed, and then openly homosexual people can serve the military. All of a sudden, the left are like the biggest hawks in the entire world. Why? Because homosexuals can serve in the military. But, you know, for the past 40 years, they've been doing nothing but spitting our GI's face. So, that's all I have so far tonight.
Well, I'm glad, Scoop, because you ended that right as our music started to play. But I want to thank you for calling in with another excellent report and commentary from the belly of the beast, Washington, D.C.
Scoop, hey, fella, it's great to have you on there. I wish I could hear you, man, but I've had my headphones off.
We're out of time. There's never enough time. But for my staff and team here in Memphis and our good friends out in Utah, I'm James Edwards. Remember, live life the way we do, folks. I'm talking all over our outro right now, but... God bless you, everybody. We'll see you next week.